Okay, may isang linya doon sa ating inawit, not a surge of worry, not a shade of care. And we have to admit that in most cases, it does not describe us. We have a lot of worries, we have a lot of cares na kuminsan ay umaapaw at nawawala ang ating kapayapaan. So we are now in that part of our study of Christian holiness where we are contrasting the sin of anxiety and the opposite grace of that is what we will address today. Just by reminder, tinuring natin ang anxiety, kabalisahan ay isang kasalanan. Hindi natin ito maaring itolerate. Huwag nating sabihin, personality lang yan. May mga tao talagang worrier at may mga taong walang pakialam. That is not true. Anxiety is a sin. Why? Because pinagtambal ang anxiety and covetousness. Remember the sin previous to anxiety that we studied is covetousness. And magkatambal ang dalawang yan. As Matthew tells us, sinabi ng Panginoon, no one serve two masters. For either he will hate the one or serve the other, etc. You cannot serve God and mammon. So there is here a linkage between anxiety and covetousness. Covetousness is discontent with the present. Parang wala kang pagkakontento sa kasalukuyan mong kalagayan. The case of anxiety is worry about the future. So yan ang distinctive ng anxiety. It is about the future, and because you cannot entrust to God your future, ang nangyiging bunga niyan sa atin, we become anxious, and anxiety is lack of faith. Remember that in the scriptures, the issue here is whether you can entrust your future to God. So what is at stake here is that the future belongs to God. Ang hinaharap natin, ang kinabukasan natin, ay nakabilang sa Diyos. Ang Diyos ang may hawak ng ating kinabukasan. Hindi natin malalaman. We don't believe in fortune telling. Of course, there is a scientific way of projection. But as far as the future is concerned, we cannot define it for ourselves. It is something that is in the hands of God. Ang Panginoon ay isinasalungat niya ang sarili niya sa mga Diyos ng mga pagano, the pagan gods, Babylonian gods, particularly in the context. Sinabi niya, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. So, ang kaibahan ng Diyos, bakit siya lang ang tunay na Diyos, is because He alone can tell the future from the beginning. Nagsisimula pa lang, sinasabi na niya ang magiging kinabukasan. So, the knowledge of the future belongs to God, but not only knowledge of the future, it is control of the future. Siya ang nagpapasya paano mangyayari, huhubugin ang hinaharap natin. And therefore, the challenge to the believer is trust in the goodness of your Father. If God is your Father, He will not think ill of you. He will not plan that which will destroy you. Eh, kagaya rin ng sino mang human father, maaaring magkamali sila ng kanilang maiisip para sa kanilang anak, pero hindi nila sinasadya, of course, except those perverse fathers na meron pa rin tayo. But normal human fathers will always think that which is for the good of his children. So ganito ang Panginoon. Kung siya ang ating ama, hindi niya tayo pag-iisipan ng ikasasama natin. Maaring mabibigatan tayo, pero hindi ito ibinigay para sa ikasasama natin. So, now we come to the opposite grace. In order to mortify the sin of anxiety, sinabi natin yun sa ating general consideration ng mortification and cultivation, you cannot mortify any sin without at the same time cultivating the opposite grace. Hindi ito sequential na i-mortify ko yung sin pagkatapos ay haharapin ko yung opposite grace. In order to mortify the sin of anxiety, you must cultivate the grace of peace. And think of peace. Peace in this world, it is so elusive. Ang kapayapaan sa mundo ay napaka mailap. At what time has there been no war in the world? After the Second World War, the United Nations was organized in order for the purpose na to prevent wars among nations, and we can only say that it is only mildly successful because wars are still going on. At ito ilang araw lang nakakaraan after US troops withdrew from northern Syria, as soon as they withdrew, Turkey invaded the Kurdish region of Syria. Ay, kita mo yung talagang andyan pa rin talaga ang digmaan. May sinasabi na natapos na ang Cold War. May isang book na ang title ay From Cold War to Hot Peace. Yan ang kalagayan natin ngayon. Wala nang ang Cold War, pero yung peace na umiiral ay masyadong mainit, masyadong matindi pa rin ang pagkakagalit ng mga tao. So, there is rarity of peace in the world. There are some dramatic diplomatic events like the incredible meeting between mortal enemies, the US President and North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. Dalawang beses na sila nagtagpo, but still, there is no real peace. So that is peace in the world. Samantalang ang pangako ng Panginoon, in the upper room discourse, sinabi niya sa kanyang mga alagad, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So may mapapansin tayo sa description ng Panginoon sa kanyang ibibigay na kapayapaan. It is different from the world's peace. The peace I give to you is not as the world gives. And then, what is the evidence of this peace when it truly governs the Christian? Sinabi niya, it is opposite to inner trouble and fear. So, dinidiin ko, inner trouble, outside circumstances, you can never control them. There may be trouble outside, but the peace of Christ is something that produces inner peace. Nagkakaroon ka ng panloob na kapayapaan, hindi ka nababagabag ng mga nangyayari sa panlabas. Yan ang iniaalok na kapayapaan ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Ngayon, tingnan natin, explore natin ang ibig sabihin nito. Peace in the Old Testament is a very rich concept. In fact, the common greeting among the Israelites was "Peace be with you." And the word for peace in the Old Testament is shalom. And it is not just absence of conflict. It is not simply being calm. Hindi lang yan yung payapa in the sense na walang gulo. In fact, this is used in many associations in the Old Testament. It can be associated with prosperity and health. Sabi ng Psalm 38:3, "Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body." The word health in Hebrew is shalom. So you can see here that shalom can mean health in one's body. And it can also mean the productivity of the land. Kapag mabunga ang lupain, like in Zechariah 8:12, "I will let the seed of shalom be planted." And so what will be the result? The vine will give her fruit and the land will give her increase, etc. So kapag mabunga ang lupain at nag-aani ng masagana ang mga Israelita, ito ay tinatawag na the condition of peace. From here, Old Testament scholars have determined that the real meaning of shalom is not just peace in general, sense of calm and without trouble. The real meaning of shalom is what it is supposed to be. Meaning, what is the purpose of land? Para magtil, para mamunga at may anihin. Kaya kapag ang lupain ay ginagawa niya ang dapat mangyari sa kanya, yan ay shalom. Para ano ang ating katawan? Para magamit natin sa mga gawain natin, pero kailangan malusog ang katawan para magawa natin ang dapat natin gawin. At kapag malusog ang katawan, that is shalom because it is supposed to be what it is intended to be. So shalom is what is supposed to be. And that is why sin, its opposite, is what is not supposed to be. Kapag ginawa mo ang makapipinsala sa iyong kalagayan bilang lingkod ng Diyos, gumagawa ka ng kabaligtaran ng shalom. You are not doing what is supposed to be. So that is the Old Testament concept of shalom. What is supposed to be Then, in the New Testament, it is made even richer because of what happened through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sa New Testament, may dalawang gamit ng peace na pag-ibahin natin. There is, first of all, peace with God. Peace with God is objective and permanent. Pansin ninyo yung sinabi rito. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, yung peace na tinutukoy rito ay ang status ng ating relationship sa Panginoon. Because we are justified. Justified means acquitted of sin. Hindi na tayo ginawara ng sentensya na guilty. Sa halip tayo ay not guilty, that's justified. Now, because of that, we now have a relationship with God which is one of peace. At yan ay objective. Ibig sabihin ng objective, nasa labas natin yan. Wala yan sa loob natin na karanasan. Yan ay relasyon natin sa Diyos. That means permanent. Sometimes nababagabag ka, it does not change your peace with God. You have a relationship of peace. As far as your standing with God is concerned, that is not changed by varying circumstances. Hindi babaguhin ang kapayapaan natin sa Diyos na tayo ay nababagabag, nabibigatan, at maaring may kaguluhan ang ating isip. Pareho pa rin. It's still the same peace with God. It is permanent. But then, from here, there is another kind of peace which is called peace of God. Sinabi, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, the peace of God is subjective. Ibig sabihin niya yung nasa loob natin. Yan ang kapag nanalangin tayo, I'll say more on that in a while. Pag tayo nanalangin, ibigay natin sa Panginoon ang mga bumabagabag sa atin, iiral daw ang kapayapaan ng Diyos. Now, this peace of God is fluctuating. May mga panahon na kinukulang ka ng kapayapaan ng Diyos dahil pinaiiral mo ang bagabag, pinaiiral mo ang ligalig, na-stress ka o masyado kang bahalang-bahala at you can say that the peace of God is not governing your inner condition. But then, when you come to God in prayer, cast yourself upon Him, the promise is the peace of God will transcend even your understanding. Kahit hindi mo pa maisip, may kapayapaan na iiral sa iyo. So these are the two kinds of peace that we need to understand. And what we need to understand is that whatever happens, if you're a Christian, your peace with God does not change. But it is your duty na i-cultivate mo ang peace of God para umiiral sa iyo ang kapayapaan. And so, where there is a title for God in the New Testament that does not occur in the Old Testament. He is the God of peace. And that is because of what Christ has done. Paul uses this four times in his letters. It occurs once in Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now you can say that God is the God of peace because of what Christ has done. Mayroon ng kapayapaan na ibinibigay ang Diyos. Now, i-contrast natin sa the world's version of peace. Remember, sabi ni Jesus, peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So, meron palang kapayapaan bigay ang mundo. Pero tingnan natin where it may be right, where it may be wrong. Often, in the world's concept of peace, the only thing that they think is avoiding conflict. Iwasan mo ang sigalot. Iwasan mo ang gulo. Now, may tama yan. Para sa mga mananampalataya, dapat hanggat maaari, iwasan ang sigalot. Iwasan ang gulo. Sabi ng Proverbs 20 verse 3, it is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Tandaan ninyo ito, ang reputasyon na ikabit sa iyo na ikaw ay palaaway, ay napakapangit na patotoo. It's a very ugly reputation. Now, there are times you may be dragged into conflict reluctantly. Pero kung matag ka na Ayan, iwasan mo yan. Aawayin ka yan. Hindi maganda ang ganung reputasyon. Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, Jude, verse 3. May times naman na hindi may iwasan. Especially when it becomes a battle for truth. Sinabi ni Jude, "Beloved, I appeal to you, contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints." So, pag ginawa mong ampis ay avoiding conflict, there will be times na nagko-compromise na, hinahamon ang katotohanan, at hindi mo pa rin pinagtatanggol ang katotohanan, that will be wrong. It is a wrong avoidance of conflict. That is why defining peace simply as avoiding of conflict is inadequate. Now, there is a version of this that happens in churches. And it is still a world version of peace, but many churches are subscribing to this. And that is refraining from sin conviction. You know, pag nagugulo ang isip o damdamin ng isang tao, hindi yan ang dahilan ba't sila nagpupunta sa simbahan. Gusto nilang mapagaan ang kanilang damdamin. And so many preachers are buying into that. Ang ginagawa nila, mga pangangaral na inspiring, sentimental, maaring makapagpagaan ng damdamin, pero walang panunumbat ng kasalanan. Hindi yan ang dahilan na narito ang iglesia. The reason why the church is here is so that the grace of God may be displayed, and that can only be displayed when people are convicted of their sin. Kailangan ng panunumbat sa kasalanan. Here is an example. Why is this the most popular book thus far? I have read this through and through. I've studied it. Because I really want to learn if this is something that God can use. And I believe that God has used it in some cases, but in many other cases, it has distorted the grace of God. One thing about this book, whoever reads it will be comforted. And that is just what is wrong with it. Naalala ko kaya na atawag ang attention ko riyan. I was reading the testimony of someone I will not name, but a celebrity whose lifestyle is immoral and scandalous even, but she testified na when she read the book, she was very much inspired and comforted. And when a person who is giving a lifestyle of sinfulness and gets comforted without repentance, you know something is wrong with this book. And so I read it. I gave a long review. The Banner of Truth Trust published that on their website. The Purpose-Driven Life is a book that is very welcoming sa sino mang babasa, but it comforts everybody because there is no dealing with sin. And that's not what the church is here for. Maaring tawagin nilang peace, kagaya ng kay Jeremiah, they say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Why? Because they have healed the wounds of my people slightly. Kaunting pagpapagaling lang. Ephesians 2:13 and 14 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah, for he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility." So there is peace in Christ, but peace by exposing sin so that you may repent of it and know the peace of Christ. So, ang ganitong version, wala kang sumbat sa kasalanan at akala mo may peace ka na, and yet you are still living in sin without repentance and mortification, that is not the peace Christ gives. The peace Christ gives always has conviction of sin. So, how do we cultivate the peace that is given by Christ? Again, two things that I want to stress because they are explicitly associated with having peace. First, essential doctrines, God's sovereign over time and events. Sinabi na natin yan when we studied anxiety, at ito pa rin ang kailangan natin in order to develop peace of mind, the peace of God, ipaubaya mo sa Panginoon pagdating sa mga usaping panghinaharap, wala kang magagawa. That is beyond your control. And so you commit it to God because He is sovereign over time and events. Again, binasa na natin kanina yan, the reason why God is unique is because He alone can tell the end from the beginning. And you need to exercise faith in this God. But there's another thing, and that is God in covenant favor. The concept of covenant is very pervasive, malaganap ito sa buong Biblia. Ang konsepto ng covenant, ang ibig sabihin niyan, ang Diyos ay nagpanata. Unlike other gods, of course they're not true gods, but in pagan concept of gods, their gods are capricious. Hindi mo alam kung gigising ka, mainit ang ulo ng Diyos. At baka pagbuntunan ka ng kanyang init ng ulo. Ganyan ang mga pagan gods. Kaya sari-sari ritual ginagawa nila para palamigin ang ulo ng kanilang mga Diyos. Hindi ganyan ang Diyos ng Biblia. At para ipakita niyang iba siya sa mga Diyos na mga pagano, He made His treatment of His people based on covenant. Ibig sabihin ng covenant muli, God pledge. Nagpanata ang Diyos. Ganito ako magiging pakikitungo sa inyo, kayo naman bilang tugon, maging ganito. That's covenant. And God's covenant means favor as long as we live under or in covenant faithfulness. So Ezekiel 37, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will bless them and multiply them and they and will set my sanctuary among them forevermore. My dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The fulfillment of that in the New Testament is in the church. We are now the sanctuary. We are now the temple, according to Ephesians 2. But the covenant pledge continues. At tinawag niya itong covenant of peace. Shalom. Makikitungo siya sa atin na ang resulta ay what it is supposed to be. Kung anong nararapat. Kaya may ipagkakatiwala mo sa Panginoon. Hindi siya gagawa ng what is not supposed to be. Ang gagawin niya ay shalom. Maaring humirap, maaring bumigat. Ngunit patuloy pa rin na pabor ang layunin ng Diyos. That's what I hope to show sa ating maikling series starting tonight. Yung case ni David in Psalm 57. So God is in covenant favor with us. We can trust Him that He will fulfill His end of the covenant. At kung sabihin mo, paano, hindi ako ganun ka-faithful. Hamon ito na maging faithful ka, pero hindi mo wala yung covenant ng Panginoon. Why? Because what ratified that covenant is the death of Christ, not your faithfulness. The covenant is already ratified by Christ. And your fluctuation does not affect the covenant. So, yan ang isang doktrinang mahalaga. So, cultivating peace, two requisite disciplines. Ang unang explicitly stated is prayerfulness. Again, binanggit na natin kanina, don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer, let your request be made known to God and the peace of God. So, may kapayapaan sa nananalangin. Now, let me just stress, this is regular, consistent, disciplined praying. Not spate of praying. Hindi bugsong panalangin kasi nagulubuhay mo, bigla kang naninikluhod ngayon sa panalangin. Samantalang nang kalmado ang buhay mo, ay halos walang panalangin. Siguro, minamadaling panalangin. At nang bumigat, biglang bugsong panalangin. It will not work that way. Your prayer life must be consistent and disciplined. And it says, make known. Bakit? Hindi ba alam ng Diyos? Bakit ipapaalam natin? No, the making known there is not for God to know. It is to shape our attitude. So the posture of prayer is not just casting yourself upon God, it is also shaping your attitude. And one such attitude that prayer shapes is peace. Magkaroon ka ng kapayapaan. At yan ang isang mahalagang suriin natin sa ating sarili. Baka bagabag kang masyado, itanong mo, nananangin ka ba? Nananangin ka ba ng may disiplina? And then the second, dito explicitly, ginamit ng Panginoon ang usapin ng priority. Going back again to Matthew 6, therefore do not worry, saying what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So ang usapin na hinaharap ng Panginoon dyan, kaya tayo nag-worry because our priorities are reversed. Masyado tayong nakatutok sa pansamantala. Anong kakainin, anong isusuot, and of course, yung mga bagay natin sa ating trabaho, tamang pag-isipan sila, pero binigyan mo ba ng gayon ding pag-iisip ang usapin ng iyong kabanalan, ang usapin ng iyong relasyon sa Diyos, ang usapin ng iyong patutuo, ang mga alalahanin sa iglesia, ng mga kapatiran. Kung wala kang alalahanin sa mga bagay na yun, at buhos ang isip mo sa mga bagay na pangsarili at pangsamantala, gugupuin ka ng kabalisahan. At ang sagot riyan ay, seek first the kingdom of God. At ang pangako niya, itong pinagkakabalisahan mo, idaragdag yan. The word there is bonus. Bonus yan ng Panginoon. Ngunit unahin mong pag-isipan ang mga bagay na pang-espiritual. At yung sinabi niya rito, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So, ibig sabihin yan, ibinigay ng Panginoon na may medyo malaman natin na mangyayari ay yung ngayon. So, everyone has the ability to bear his troubles today. The reason why we break down is we add tomorrow, which is not meant for us to worry about. We worry about today in the sense of caring for what I must do today, but what happens after today, that is God's control. So, anong maasahan natin when peace governs a man, a Christian? Una, peacefulness in church. Dito may isang bagay na maling pag-iisip ng marami na payapa sila kapag sila ay nag-iisa. At yun ang kanilang kapayapaan, in solitude. But the challenge of peace is not in solitude. The challenge of peace is when you are with brethren of all kinds of personalities, when one's personality impinges on you and yours impinges on others. That's the challenge of peace, when you can live in peace while you are of different personalities, backgrounds, and idiosyncrasies. Yung mga iba-ibang mga pag-uugali, pagsamasamahin mo, kaya yung sinasabi ko lagi, I'm just partially redeemed as a sinner, and so are you. When you bring together partially redeemed sinners, what do you have? A church. That is what a church is. And that's where the challenge of peace is most intense. Makikipagpayapaan ka ba sa hindi mo kaugali, hindi mo kapersonalidad, hindi mo kasabayan sa mga interes? So, imagine the mix of personalities you have in this group photo. And that's where the challenge of peace is. And it becomes 1 Thessalonians 5 says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Verse 11, among yourselves, one another, the members of the church. And then verse 12, the relationship that exists between leaders and members. And what's the result? Verse 13, be at peace among yourselves. That's the challenge of peace in the church, when there is peaceful treatment of one another and then peaceful relationship between leaders and members. And then in the world, The behavior of peace is peacemaking among fellow men. Part of the Beatitudes, Matthew 5 verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So kung magkakasangkapan tayo na pagkasunduin ang mga nagkakasigalot, huwag tayo maging panggatong ng sigalot. Maging peacemaker tayo, because according to, again to scriptures, the attitude of the believer in Romans 12:18, if it is possible as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So a Christian is a peacemaker, hindi siya naghahanap ng gulo. Kung merong gulo, sisikapin niyang pagkasunduin. At siya mismo, ayaw niyang makipaggulo sa walang saysay na mga kaguluhan. Kaya sinabi, as it depends on you. Now there are times hindi mo maiwasan kasi yung tao ang mismo naghahanap ng gulo. But as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. That's what we expect if the grace of peace is reigning over us. Any question or any thought you'd like to share concerning peace? Anyone?
I. Pastor, yung sa conflict, being peaceful. For example, conflict customer service. Una, peaceful ka. Yung sinasabi mo yung problema mo as a customer. So, okay lang. Di, alam mo naman yung laging sinasabi niya, ay, sorry po sir, we'll address ganito. Pero kung halimbawa, nakasampu ka na, tapos wala pa rin nangyayari, of course, minsan nga, yung iba napapasigaw na, pero ano may papayo mo pag ganong talagang kumukulo na ang dugo mo kasi you're entitled, for example, to yung service na pinabayaran mo pa tapos hindi binibigay sa'yo dahil for reason na hindi mo maintindihan basta kung ano yung dahilan sinasabi nila. Ano, Pastor, ang maipapayo mo sa mga maiinit na ulo?
Oy, talagang may mga ganong pagkakataon, but again, we must ask the question, is it worth pursuing? If you feel it is worth pursuing for better service in the future, then do as your conscience dictates. Makikita natin si Pablo when he was jailed in Philippi at nung siya'y palalayain na ng mga administrators, nagreklamo si Pablo, you jailed me, I'm a Roman citizen. And nag-threaten siya na iakyat. Kasi nga, Roman citizen, hindi mo pwede basta i-jail without trial. At ginamit niya yung kanyang karapatan as a Roman citizen in order to issue a threat at nagkumahog yung mga administrators, nag-apologize sa kanya, in-escortan pa siya. So, we can see in the case of Paul, he used what available remedy there was in order to para harapin niya yung maling pagtrato sa kanya. So if you feel that there is a remedy and it's worth pursuing, then let your conscience dictate. Siguro ang iwasan natin ay yung away na dahil sa mga bagay na pwede namang daanin sa tahimik at maayos na pakikipag-usap. Other questions or thoughts?
Pastor, naisip ko po, other than anxiety po, I think there's another thing that steals our peace, which is regret po, which is parang feeling bad about the things that we've done in the past. Mahirap po tanggapin yung mga maling decision natin in the past, especially po if we have hurt other people or if we are forced to live with the consequences po.
Well, Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3:13 following, forgetting those things which are behind and pursuing those things which are before or ahead. Yes, we all have our regrets. But just like the future which we cannot shape, the past we cannot change, So we try to draw lessons from the past. That's the best thing you can do about your past. Draw lessons, but you cannot change them. So living in regret will not help in moving on from your past. Saan may ilalagay na sin ang regret? Isipin ko pa. Kapag regret ang umiiral sa atin, we cannot draw lessons. So it's better to draw lessons from our experience rather than being overwhelmed by regret. Other questions, other thoughts about peace? Rex.
Share ko lang, Pastor, kasi nalimit ako lumuwas eh. Problema ko lagi traffic. And minsan pagka alam mong importante yung pupuntahan mo and then biglang hindi mo in-expect na gano'ng kasama yung traffic. Yeah, yun. Galit ka na, anxious ka pa and everything else. And ang isang laging nakakatulong sa akin is, you know, trying to think that, you know, God is in control here, you know. Baka kung ikaw nagmamadali, you know, somewhere there, baka ikaw na aksidente, you know, all the good things na, no, I think, baka sabi ko nga, no, sige na nga, dito na lang ako sa traffic, maghintay na lang ako, and, you know. And somehow, nakakatulong sa akin yun, really thinking about, you know, the good thing why, you know, why that is happening. You know.
Yeah, that makes two of us pagdating sa traffic. And I'm sure many more of you nakaranas ng tinatawag na Carmageddon diyan sa EDSA lalo talagang uubusin ang pasensya mo, but yun maiisip mo some of the good things. Ako ang isang iniisip ko is imperfection of man, or even sinfulness, and therefore it's a good thought in the sense that you sense more the reality of sin, the reality of imperfection. Pero, in fact, I'll use that as an illustration mamayang gabi, so I will not preempt it. Other thoughts? Ate Emma.
When you start the day, kudwari po, nag-quiet time ka, so you're very peaceful. But when you turn on the radio, start listening to the news, parang nakaka-stress. So, where do you draw the line between you are in the world and therefore you have to wrestle with what is in the world? Or itong sabi mo, solitude. Kasi you're saying that solitude is not an issue with regards to peace. Pero kasi ako, I'd rather turn off the radio kahit hindi ko alam yung news, because you talk about yung kay Trump, yung kay Alvarado, yung traffic woes. Nakaka-stress talaga, Pastor. But it's a good reminder about what you said with yung subjective at saka yung objective na peace. And I think one of the benefits we have as a believer is that meron na tayong yung peace with God. And yung subjective kasi doon is the peace of God pala. Yung subjective is peace of God. So, I think as believers, we can balance it in such a way that, yeah, sabi naman kasi ng Lord, He's not asking the Father to take us out of the world, but rather that we be victorious in the world. Pero yun nga, what tips can you say so that we still maintain that peace of mind and still be in the world, wrestling in the world, but at the same time, overcoming the anxiety? Ano po yung pwede niyong mabigay na practical tips?
Well, there is a place for solitude, of course. Lahat tayo mayroong ganung time of solitude. I treasure my time in my office. That's where I am in solitude. So we must have those moments of solitude. Maring tawagin mong quiet time. But the moment of solitude will of course undo ng peace. But ang sinabi ko kanina, the challenge of peace is not in solitude, but when you are with people who will provoke you, who will, so doon mo talaga deliberately and by resolve, paiiralin mo yung payapang attitude when you are with people, but your moment of solitude will help. So, yung mga kaguluhan sa mundo, kagaya ng sinabi ko kanina, wala tayong magagawa doon. They are troubles, pagka-quiet time mo, magbukas ka ng news, ninja cops, at iba't ibang mga nakakabahalang mga balita. Isipin mo na lang that this is the world I live in. It's a sinful world. Through Christ, I have peace with God, and by prayer, I can have the peace of God to transcend all my understanding. So, yung resolution dito ay always see the stresses of life, the bad news of the day-to-day na we are living in a sinful world. But, kung nalala nyo yung aking presentation nung last RR, and we will review it in the next RR on Saturday, we are still living in this age, but the age to come has invaded this age. So Christians are living in two ages. The reason for our tension with sin, and yet we want to be holy, is not because of two natures. Yan ang popular explanation. It's not, we don't have two natures. We are just one person, one nature. But the reason is because we live in two ages. We still live in this age of sin, but we also belong to the age to come that has invaded this age. Kaya merong tayong part ng age to come na nasa atin na, so thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Meron na tayong heavenly reality dito, although part lang. The consummation is in the second coming of Christ, but we can have a share already of heavenly reality, including peace. Last thoughts, Paul?
Pastor, there is this quote from C.S. Lewis about anxiety, which seems to counter what we've just discussed here. It sounds good, but anyway, let me just share it out. So, some people feel guilty about their anxieties and regard them as a defect of faith. I don't agree at all. They are afflictions, not sins. Like all afflictions, they are, if we can so take them, our share in the passion of Christ. It may sound good, and parang sa sabi niya na it's sharing the suffering of Christ, but at the same time, as you presented here, it's also indicative of our lack of faith or trust in God's sovereignty.
Well, I think he is using the word anxiety there with a more limited sense of the effect of affliction, the effect of adversity sa atin, na nabibigatan tayo. That kind of anxiety is human. But there is a sinful anxiety, which is the lack of faith in God's control of the future. So I think what C.S. Lewis means is the more limited sense of anxiety that we all experience when we are under affliction and adversity, na meron tayong kabigatan na nararamdaman. But that does not necessarily mean we distrust God's providence and His control of the future. Kina?
Napakalaking bagay po yung isa po sa nabanggit ko, sugestion po natin yung prayerfulness. Kasi yun po talaga yung nakakapagbigay po ng alam po na may nakikinig sa'yo despite everything na mga anxiety na maidudulot ng mundo. And yun po ang isang ginagamit ng mga anxiety when anxious and all these things happen. Ano po, yung word po na sinabi niya na in this world, you shall have many tribulations, but you have good cheer. I have overcome the world. So yun po, kaya salamat sa Panginoon kasi tayo po Kristiyano. Kahit na marami po talaga dito sa mundo, kahit po tayo ay nasa labas, o kahit tayo nasa iglesia, and yet, sinabi ng Panginoon
na yes, overcome the world. Okay, so yung contrast doon, in the world you shall have tribulations. So hindi niya sinabing kapag Kristiyano ka, wala, hindi ka mabibigatan, hindi ka magsasuffer. Yan ang message na makukuha natin sa mga signs and wonders evangelicals, which is of course not true. We will have tribulations in the world, but the good news is Jesus has overcome the world, which means tribulations do not need to overcome you. You will bear them, but they do not need to overcome you. Meron pa? So sana talagang suriin natin ang ating sarili. Tinignan natin last time the complications of anxiety. It's not a little sin na we can just live with. And the way to mortify that is to have a governing peace. That Jesus said should be opposite to inner trouble and disturbance. So yun sana ang ating pairalit. Let's close in prayer. Nakilala naming Diyos sa aming mahabaging Ama, nagpapasalamat kami na mayroong biyaya na kasalungat ng aming mga ligalig at ito ang kapayapaan. Ngunit hindi lamang kapayapaan na bigay ng mundo, kundi kapayapaan na galing sa Panginoong Hesukristo at ito ay nakabatay sa kapayapaan na hindi magbabago, ang kapayapaan ng relasyon sa Diyos nang dahil sa pagpapawalang sala batay sa kamatayan at pagkabuhay na muli ni Jesus. So we pray, Father, that we may appreciate more our peace with God, which is permanent, which is external and objective, and through that we can develop the peace of God, which often fluctuates, but on the posture of prayer, you have promised that there is that peace that transcends understanding, and that will govern our inner condition when we cast ourselves upon you in all our concerns. So we pray that we may not fail to examine ourselves in this matter of worry and anxiety, and teach us, Lord, as members of this church, to have a behavior of peacefulness towards one another. And in the world, may we be known as peacemakers, not troublers, not those who are given to strife. So we pray that we may truly know that peace that passes understanding in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.